All right, hello and welcome back to Daily Sales On Demand for CEOs, where I am very excited to chat with my friends, Jack and Michelle Bosch. And I'm really excited to have this conversation with the two of them. I actually met Jack and Michelle through a mastermind. We're all in Legacy Leaders Mastermind. And I just had such a cool opportunity to meet the two of them in person in our last mastermind and hear their story. And what they're doing is just inspirational and exciting and fun to watch. So welcome, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. It's an honor here to share basically what we're up to, what we're excited about, and what we're passionate about for sure.
Yes. And, so tell us, who are you? What do you do?
So Jack and I, we're both immigrants into the U.S. Jack is originally from Germany. I'm from Honduras. We came here to study, got corporate jobs that we hated.
Yeah.
Exactly. Corporate jobs that we hated. Why? Because we had no freedom and definitely paychecks that didn't match the level of time and effort that we were putting into those. So we started looking for a side hustle. Mm-hmm. We looked into real estate. We started originally trying to flip houses. That didn't quite work. Then we transitioned or stumbled, I should say, into land investing. And we noticed that, you know, there was quite a bit of people out there trying to get rid of their parcels of land, and nobody is really doing a good job at contacting those people, buying those properties for a discount, and then selling them, you know, for market value or a hike up, you know, in price of some sort. So we typically buy properties for anywhere between 5 and 40 cents on the dollar, and then turn around and sell those for 60 or 80% of market value.
Right. So we basically figured out a method to find the people that don't want. So we do land flipping instead of house flipping, as Michelle said, and we specialize in finding the people who really just don't want their properties anymore. So not even motivated sellers in the real estate world. Everyone's talking about motivated sellers.
You want non-wanters.
A motivated seller gives you a house for 65, 70% of market value. Well, no, we want we get our pieces of land for, as Michelle said, for 5, 10, or all the way up to 30, 40% of market value. Then we sell it at 60% of market value. So if you buy a $50,000, you take a $50,000 property, you put it under contract for $8,000, and you sell it for $30,000, well, that's a nice $22,000 profit that you can make in there. And the nice part is that you do that, and that's actually what's wonderful about land is that there's no, we call it the three T's, no tenants, toilets, termites. In other words, no tenants, no mold, no repairs.
Right.
It's 100% virtual. You can do it from anywhere because you don't have to go meet contractors at the land because there's nothing to contract for. There's nothing to fix. There's nothing to do, right? So as a result, we have now have students that do this and we now teach this and we have students that do this from all over the world in the US. And it's become a really, really great, scalable, simple model because again, we just wholesale these properties. We get them on a contract cheap, find a buyer quickly, and then just move them, make the money in the middle, and or we also like selling them with what's called seller financing or installment sales, where we allow them to make a monthly do the down payment and pay monthly payments. So therefore we generate cash flow from land, which is highly unusual for people to get their minds around.
Especially in the real estate space. You know, most people think about rental income from a house, but that you can also have income coming in pretty much ka-ching in your mailbox every month from a piece of land that you sold, basically where you became the bank and you have extended a loan to someone. Like in Jack's example, you know, somebody gives you $8,000 down payment and then the remainder of whatever you're selling that property for, they're paying over the next 5, 10, 15 years in monthly installments of $500 or $800 every month. How many of those do you need to already create anywhere between $5,000 to $10,000 of passive cash flow? Probably retire a spouse, quit your job or whatever. That's basically, that was our ticket. That's how basically we made this our main hustle when it originally started as a side hustle. And now, you know, in both areas, now we've had the opportunity to scale, to build teams, basically, in order to be able to flip over 4,000 pieces of land. It wasn't just Jack and I going with buyers. You know, it required a little bit of complexity there. And now as we have now, you know, turned around to also teach others, you know, how to do this. Now we have a team of over 40 people as well. And we're all about team.
Yeah.
Team makes the dream come true. There is this acceleration of you being able to really bring value to a marketplace, you know, through others like nothing else. So I know you're a lot into team building as well. So let me tell you, we are too.
I know, and I just love it. So how did you guys get from, before we dig into team and the way your companies look now, how did you guys get from out of the corporate jobs to just flipping land to turning around and teaching others? Like, what was that trajectory? What was that time frame that you guys were able to make that transition?
So we both had basically our green cards that were going, that were being processed by the employers that we had. So there was a period of time for, I would say, 2 years where, you know, our land flipping business was growing and it had already grown to a point where we could have retired from, you know, those jobs, but we couldn't because our green cards depended on it.
So we started part-time because that's our only option, right?
Yeah.
We saw it, we knew it would work. We dabbled with it, we tried it, we figured out the model, but if we would have quit our jobs, we would have had 60 days to either get another visa or to leave the country. Right. So we were like, our hands were tied to the company we're working on. On top of it, there was a technology company I worked with, and they were in Michelle too.
Yeah.
And they went through a recession at that point, and they let lots of people go. So even though we had the ticket, we still needed to double up and work extra hard in our jobs in order to make it to the green card. But the moment we received the green card, we're like, now as green card, we're permanent residents in the United States. We're not dependent on the employer anymore. Shortly afterwards, we quit. And then it just took like the hockey stick kind of growth, because now it's not like that we quit in order to be able to just sit around and sit on the beach. We quit in order to put all our effort into the business. And obviously, when you have, instead of having two people spending evenings and weekends on a business, you have two people spending 10 hours a day in a business,
right?
Then the trajectory goes.
I would say that we focused for a period of about 6 years where all we did was one singular activity.
But after quitting our jobs.
Yeah. Flipping in. Basically to mastery, where volume and scale basically, you know, gives you the opportunity to have the reps.
Put our head up when we're like, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
It was like around 2009, and we're like, okay, everyone is losing their shirt right now.
Yep.
And we just keep humming along because it's recession proof, you know. We've been able to do it even in the middle of a pandemic. And Jack's like, you know what? I think we need to share, because look at how many people right now in the real estate space are not doing well. We need to share this with others. And that's kind of like where we turn around and started also looking to start coaching and starting our coaching company and educational company, pretty much. We continue to flip land to this day. This is my favorite gateway asset class. It's the quickest way to get a cash injection in your bank account, and the simplest way for sure compared to other real estate strategies that require that you have a ton of capital to the table and a lot of knowledge and sophistication in the industry.
I love that. And so then are we still running, is it run as two separate businesses, the land flipping business and the coaching business? We run them separately. How big are both of the teams?
Well, we actually have three businesses if you really want to define it like that. Because one is our land flipping business. Okay. One is our educational coaching business. And one is also another real estate business where we take basically the profits from our land business and the profits from the cash flow we make from real estate investments and keep rolling them into more and more and more real estate. Right? We love real estate. We have like no money in the stock market. We have we follow Warren Buffett. Everyone says like diversify. Warren Buffett says put all your eggs in one basket that you know really, really well and monitor that basket really, really well. Well, we know real estate inside and out. So we have our assets in real estate and we monitor them really close. So, but to your question about the team size, our land flipping team is actually very, very small because by now everything can be outsourced, automated, and put together. And that's how we teach it to our students too. Sure. So we really only have a team of three people in our land flipping business.
Yeah, right? Because now a lot of the inbound calls, I don't have to have 10 people sitting in my office receiving inbound calls. You can outsource that to somebody. We also have this huge machine basically called a DocuMatch back in the day, where we would send out basically 5,000 pieces of mail every day, and they would come out of our physical office, and we would have two people on staff just to do that and lick and stamp and, you know, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. None of that is necessary. Now we outsource that to mailing houses, you know, to a mailing house.
Yeah.
So that really brings you down to the point of like, you need somebody that is helping you with due diligence on the acquisition side. And we need two people helping us on the sales and marketing on the sales side.
That's our team now. So instead of having four people, we have a team of three. One and the research person is also the transaction coordinator, basically. So when sales happen, they coordinate the paperwork and things like that. That's it. Now on the education side, well, then on the other side of the real estate, we own apartment complexes and things like that. Mm-hmm. Everything there is really completely outsourced to property management companies.
Yeah.
So in other words,
we have an asset manager.
We have an asset manager there. And right now we're hiring probably another person as an acquisition manager. But if we add up all the team members on one property, it's five, and another one is three, and another one is another four, it's another three. So we add this all up, it's probably a dozen people. But we pay for their payroll because the property management passes it through to us. But they're not our employees. They're employees of the property management company and running these properties. So so therefore, that's again a very small team.
But again, it's team at a higher level where you need to know that that partner, that company that you're associating with shares your same values and vision for that particular project and property and how the level of excellence that you want to operate that property at. It is an exercise in leadership and team building.
The biggest team right now actually is our coaching team, because mm-hmm. we have 18 contracted master coaches that are mostly students that actually went through our coaching program, mm-hmm. did fantastic, and now coming back and contributing their time, obviously for pay, but still contributing their time to bring the next generation through the program and help change people's lives. Then we have 11 accountability coaches right now that are full-time employees with us. They're being partnered up with their students to check in with them and be really their accountability partner for the entire year of coaching. Then we have a fulfillment team. We have a concierge team. We have a marketing team, sales and marketing team, and things like that. So if you take this all together, it's a team of over 40 people in that team.
And because everybody wants to know, you know, you have a team of 40, you're running three businesses. How much time do Jack and Michelle spend in the business? And based on Michelle's face, it's more than you would like right now. But what's the goal as far as, you know, where are you going? What's the end game here for Jack and Michelle?
Yeah, right now, actually, the goal is we have been over the last, I would say, half a year or a little bit over half a year focused on top leadership. We had a lot of the people that were doing a lot of the moving pieces, basically.
The doers, yeah.
So the doers, absolutely. And we have basically focused on, you know, that those five key relationship, those five key leaders up on top, yep. in building and growing them, not just hiring them and recruiting them, but building them and growing them, yep. so that, you know, they're responsible for their particular, you know, divisions underneath them. And right now we're actually maybe possibly two candidates away from having our VP of operations, which these five people, you know, would report to. And that would free Jack and I definitely quite a bit, respective hours, to go and continue on the land flipping and continue the multifamily growth as well. Because now the land flipping, I want to mention, you know, is as you do this, you recognize that in order to create a $20,000 profit split or flip from a land flip, it's the same effort as a $100,000 land flip. There's going to be a little bit of more sophistication in the seller.
In the acquisition and the sales side, but overall it's the same
But you
thing.
Can make basically a good, you can have a great business in one of two ways, either by volume of smaller dollar deals or lower volume of larger profit deals, pretty much. Right. So that's kind of like where we're at in our
land. So we've been moving towards the lower volume, higher profit deals, which therefore doesn't require as much time and which can be automated mostly anyway, but still. So how much time do we spend in it? Well, we currently spend a lot of our time, like we're flipping a property right now that we bought for $90,000 that we're selling for $199,000. We're flipping a property that we bought, two properties that there's assignment deals where the profits are not not so great. They're like $6,000 to $10,000 each. We're selling a couple of houses right now of our portfolio of houses. And we're also looking to build, to buy an entire apartment complex. And we have some, we have a bunch of property pieces of land for sale. So there's lots of activity going on in the real estate side of things. Having said that, most of that, we have team members that do that for us. So the time involvement is not so much. Our time involvement is more right now on the coaching side of things, especially because Michelle said we're putting in this layer of management in place that allows us to take the company and can maintain it or grow it from the current level further with us being involved in that. Because before it was like, it was more that we were the coaches and we had a whole bunch of people helping us deliver the coaching and deliver the message and deliver the pieces. And now we're turning this more into a organization where there's with different departments, or we have been already with the departments, with the department leaders, with proper procedures, with proper reporting and things like that. And that requires a bit heavy lifting right now until it's in place, but then we can take that step back and continue and go back to being the visionary role, the being really the content creators, the visionary and lead the company.
I love all of this. So I'm going to ask you one more question, then we're going to talk about team. How, like, the education, because obviously, and I know your backstory, you know, both of you being immigrants, Jackie worked in technology. I'm not sure, Michelle, what you did in your job, but where did the real estate knowledge come from? Was this like, did you learn as you grew, like, or was this a passion of yours? Or how do you go from like, yeah, we're two immigrants that are stuck here with our green card to running an empire of, you know, real estate and land flipping?
I can answer that. And for me, it was Motorola who I was working. But in any case, my family back home had been in real estate before. I remember, you know, that, well, I don't remember, but I'm told my father passed away when I was very young. I was 9 months old. And about a couple years prior to his passing, he was a very accomplished lawyer back home. He purchased a piece of commercial property, a building that basically would spit out cash because he was renting it. And to this day, this piece of commercial property continues to produce cash flow and has been basically was the cornerstone of him having the possibility to really take care of his family, even though he was physically not there. My mother is a school teacher, elementary teacher. Her income would have not been sufficient for me to go private school, to send me to university here in the US, and so on and so forth. It was basically a decision from someone, you know, that was made 2 years even prior I was born, that really has had a tremendous effect. And so I knew
that the asset class was real estate.
Asset class was real estate, and that it had that component of you not just being able to create legacy when it comes from the point of view of financial legacy, but really that passive aspect of it, that there was a person that was physically not there, but therefore was still able to provide, you know, for his family because of a decision that he had made prior in that asset class.
So with that said, we knew the asset class was the asset class we wanted to go in. Having said that, our knowledge level about the asset class was zero.
Like, how can you do that at the same time?
Absolutely. We had no idea. Like the way of construction in Germany, completely different.
Right.
The way of construction in Honduras, completely different.
They built for hurricanes. They built for harsh winters.
Completely different. First of all, the language different. Michelle grew up in private school where she learned English, and I learned English in high school, but so we come over here, we learn business English, right? We go to business school and learn business English. Real estate English is a completely different terminology, right? So what is a 2x4? Well, it's the wooden sticks that they make the walls off here, right? What's a 2x8? What's drywall? Like the first time I ever heard drywall, it's like, well, is there such a thing? Like what wall? What do you mean? Like, is the wall is pretty dry, right? So what do you mean? Like when people started talking about, like, how much does it cost? How escrow, title, deed, like good. The only place we heard deeds was like in church, like the good deeds, not bad deeds, right? So it's like, where do you, like, it starts there. And then how much does it cost to repair a bathroom, to upgrade a bathroom? I have no idea. Like, we had no idea, right? We didn't know if it cost $1,000 or $10,000. Same for a kitchen, same for a roof. In
Foundation.
Germany, replacing a roof is a $100,000 job. Here, replacing a roof with the tar shingles is
depending on square footage,
it's like $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. Yeah. It's like no clue whatsoever. But then since we went into land, we realized we don't have to know any of that.
Yeah.
Because there is no roofs on land. There is no bathrooms on land. There's no kitchens on land. There's no electric, no foundation, no mold, no 2x4s, like none of these things. So all we needed to learn was the transactional language,
right,
of like how to value a piece of land. How does this escrow tie with a title company? How does this process work? And then
how to fix title issues.
Right, yeah. How to help the title companies fix title issues, because sometimes they don't know what they're doing. I'm going through that right now with the title company. And
you have to help them think sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you have to help them
think. And you, with the entrepreneurial mind that wants to get something done, needs to be able to think outside the box or bring in the attorney that can help resolve an issue or whatever it may be to make it happen. Yeah.
I love that. So then let's do, in our last couple of minutes, I want to talk about team and about leadership, because again, just knowing your story and your backstory, it wasn't like, yeah, you know, we were natural leaders. This is what we wanted, what we needed. But here you are, you have pioneered a team of people that have totally built this amazing business for you. What are some of the most valuable things for someone listening who's like, holy cannoli, having 40 something employees feels like the most intimidating thing in the world? Like, what pieces of advice could you guys give them about that? Because I know you love team and I know that's been a huge part of your growth, but what do you impart on that person who's like, having 3 employees right now scares the bejesus out of me?
I would say I look at it from the point of view of it is an honor to know that I am there 100% all in for somebody, and that somebody in return is giving that to me. That is like an amazing, like, it makes like my heart sing and spark and so on and so forth. And that we together are basically going on this journey of developing me as a perhaps a few steps ahead in leadership, but that person is coming right behind me as well. I love that aspect. I don't think we were paying a lot of attention to this in the beginning when we started. And as a result, we had a lot of turnaround, and that means, and that's core values. How important it is to not just have somebody there that actually has the capability and the skill set, but that has the attitude and that shares the same values that we do. I think that alignment is what makes you unbeatable and really differentiates you in the marketplace, number one, with your clients, but also gives you the opportunity to very quickly also make decisions, you know, when it comes to hiring or firing, because you know exactly what you stand for and what you don't. And that I would say would be something that when we started in our real estate investing business, I wish I would have paid more attention, because while we're paying more attention to what is traditionally known as the black and white kind of things of the skill set. Can they do this? Can they do that? But at the end of the day, if how they're doing it and the environment and the vibe and the energy that a group of people that see each other every single day and that work together for extended periods of time, that is just as important as, you know, what somebody is bringing to the table in terms of, you know, the bottom line.
Right. So if I want to add to that, exactly up to along the exact same lines, different work for that is corporate culture.
Yeah.
And you would have never had me use that, find me using that word up to about 5-6 years ago.
Especially as a German.
As a German, there's like, you come to work, you do what you said, I tell you to do, right? So it's like, no, that's not
right. I write you a check. You're right. Welcome.
Yeah, you do. Like, that was our attitude back many, many years ago, right? Until I really realized that this is not the way to run the business. And right. Now I'm actually would say to somebody that has no employees or one employee or wants to hire 3 employees, this is the most important thing ever, because it's not like you create a corporate culture once you have 20 employees.
Yeah,
right. It's actually you define your corporate culture right now as you're a one man or one woman show. Mm-hmm. What do you stand for? What do you think? Because core values are part of that corporate culture.
Yeah.
You define what is it that you stand for? What is it that you want to do? What's the bigger mission here? Right. Our bigger mission is to create 1,000 millionaires in the next 2 years. Right. And now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean just that we want to have 1,000 coaching students, because that doesn't equal a million millionaires. In order to create 1,000 millionaires, you got to provide a level of service that they actually have a chance of becoming millionaires, right? Yeah. You got to provide a level of training. You got to provide a level of support that it flushes as many of them as possible up to the top, so that they become millionaires. So if you really spell out that mission, all of a sudden it becomes a magnetic mission for everyone that wants to be part of that.
Absolutely.
And now, even if whether you have 20 or whether you have zero people, it attracts the right kind of team that wants to go on the journey with you, that it's driven by the right values, that's driven by the right purposes, and that's driven by the right goals. And now the entire journey becomes more fun because you're now working with a team of like-minded people on the same kind of mission.
Yeah.
And once I understood that, and Michelle, once we understood that, everything changes.
Yeah.
And we just love working and hanging out with our team. So that part of our team's coming out next month. We're just going to have a blast. We're going to bring the entire company in later in the year. It's just going to be absolutely blast.
Now, if I wanted to add a little bit to Jack, and that is and go back to like a beginner's mind, because you just said there might be somebody here that is being intimidated by, you know, doing their first hire or their, you know, or three employees or so on. What I want to say is that there is something that in real estate we call return on investment. Mm-hmm. But when you're building a team, you need to think of return on involvement. And basically that means the return of somebody being all in with you is going to be way higher than if you just have somebody that is giving you 3 hours here during the week, right, 2 hours there.
Or just rubber stamps to time stamps and clocks in and out.
Exactly. Right. And that, in my opinion, that level of commitment to one another is not strong enough so that your business can eventually become a self-managing business.
Right.
Where, why do we start an entrepreneurial venture? We started because we want freedom of time, money, relationships, and purpose. That's how we started it. But mm-hmm. if your business does not have those four freedoms, and it depends on you for sales, and
yep.
it depends on you for fulfillment, and it depends on you for marketing, your business is not enjoying those freedoms either.
Right.
So that's why the moment if you're a one man or woman show, you can't, for any reason, sickness, the car mm-hmm. breaks down, or whatever it may be, you cannot be at an appointment to create a sale.
Right.
There's no money coming in. But if you all of a sudden have an army of people out there, or you know, a team of people that are doing the sales for you, it doesn't all depend on you. And therefore, your business starts enjoying those four freedoms as well, to the point where, like Jack said, now our business is made up of team members that are living that freedom of purpose, where they feel, where they can get behind what they're coaching on because of the transformation that is being produced, and that they are able to exercise that freedom of relationships because they love the people that they work with as well. Or if you don't like it, you move on and so on. So, but the business is starting to be at that point where, just like we as entrepreneurs are enjoying those four freedoms, it is doing those, enjoying those as well. So, and I like to think about at it as like an entity, you know, it's just made out of all these amazing humans, but also like,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
it
your
thing.
Business becomes in and starts to have its own soul, its own purpose. So I
love that.
I dig it.
I do. We had a really cool opportunity this year in our business to hire an intern through a program, actually through a high school. And so she's been like editing video and stuff for us. And they asked us to come in, myself and kind of my business manager, if you will, come in and talk to these high school kids about careers and business and kind of tell our story. And I did have a conversation about culture and a conversation around skill is great. Like, go to college, get a degree, learn something, but we can teach skill, right? Like, we can't, as business owners, teach that attitude, that commitment, that stick-to-itiveness, that heart, that purpose, those values. Like, we can't teach that. And so, like, for me, my piece of advice to them was go to school, get a degree, study something you enjoy. But at the end of the day, you know, most employers are looking for someone who does have that entrepreneur type attitude, but then additionally telling them, look for companies like you guys, right? Like the companies we're looking to build where the people care, right? Because when you can say words like company culture and how important it is to you, and that it's this entity, it's going to be a better place to work. Even if flipping land isn't your passion, at least you're working for people who have the heart and have the values and have the commitment. And so that was kind of the advice that I gave them was, that's what you're looking for, right? Like, if that's the best case scenario, if you're not entrepreneurial, is to work for one who has that heart and has that commitment and sees value in that. So I just love that you put a bow on that for me in the same afternoon in your description. So thank you. Well, I could chat with the two of you all day, but I always try to keep these short and sweet. So tell everybody where they can come learn more about you. You guys put on amazing free workshops around land flipping that I know are just incredible. Where can people connect with you?
Well, there's a couple of places.
If you want to come to a free masterclass, 5-day free masterclass, you can go to landprofitmaster.com. Check out our website at Land Profit Generator.
Actually, Land Profit Fund is the best way to go. So landprofitmaster.com. You can register for a 5 to 7 day for completely free masterclass where we go day by day and give you and really roll out how this all works. Or you can also watch some videos and some things under Land Profit Fund, like having fun, F-U-N. So Land Profit and then F-U-N fund.com. Mm-hmm. Either one of those two places or go to both. We'll give you a lot more information.
Awesome. Jack and Michelle, thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so much, friend.
Great. Bye, guys.